Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 212 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Hey, did you know Who's Paying Attention is now available on Spotify? Okay, check it out. Spotify is making it easy for you to stream this podcast and a bunch of others on your mobile device, desktop, or smart speaker. Here's what you do. Open the app on your mobile or desktop, click on the browse channel, then click on podcast, okay? Open the app, click on browse, click on podcast. You can look me up with Who's Paying Attention. You can look up a bunch of other podcasts. You can check it out. Podcasts will be with you wherever you go. It's about Spotify. So we have the conspiracy theorists, and I honestly don't know what's going on. On the one hand, you have this ongoing story with Stormy Daniels, porn star bangs the president, gets paid off. And then we have, for example, Secretary of State Ron Tillerson fired through Twitter. So is the conspiracy, the Stormy Daniels story, to cover up that the White House is a complete mess and people are coming and going through there? Or is firing Tillerson on Twitter a cover-up for the Stormy Daniels porn payoff? I don't know. Now listen, I'm as guilty as anyone of surfing porn when I'm supposed to be working. So that's a good distraction. Stormy Daniels works. You know you're supposed to be working, and you click on one thing, then you click on another. Next thing you know, you're knee-deep in porn. You don't know what you were originally doing. It happens. So now we as a nation are knee-deep in porn, not knowing what's going on. But what is going on? Well, Rex Tillerson was fired. The Secretary of State was fired, and he was replaced by Mike Pompeo, the head of the CIA, which is interesting because hasn't Trump been saying from the beginning that the CIA is totally incompetent? So if the CIA is totally incompetent and you're Donald Trump and you only hire the best people, why would you hire the head of the CIA? See how that doesn't make sense? Maybe it's me. I'm at sea. I'm on a cruise ship. I'm cruising through Mexico, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But anyway, maybe it's me. Maybe I don't know what the hell's going on, but this just doesn't make sense. I don't even have an opinion anymore. You know something? I honestly don't. I'm along for the ride. The Rex Tillerson thing, the North Carolina thing, I'm not a big North Carolina. How much basketball tournament am I into? I'm sorry, I meant North Korea. The whole thing, I don't even know if it's a conspiracy. I don't believe there's any plan for Baby Hands to actually meet with the head of North Korea. I think it was a story thrown out there. People are, wow, he's going to do something. And then they'll come up with an excuse and reasons it's not going to happen. That's my belief. And I don't think it's a big conspiracy. I think these things are simple. It's so easy to distract Americans. Just throw something shiny out there, make up a story, and we're like, oh, okay, and we forget what happened yesterday. Speaking of forgetting, banking regulations, the Dodd-Frank Act that was passed after the last bank crash in 2008, and it was a law that most of us thought didn't go far enough, but there were a bunch of banking regulations basically saying they're going to keep an eye on the big banks, they're going to keep an eye on Chase and Citibank and Bank of America and all the banks that are, quote, too big to fail. The government's going to watch them. There's rules about doing mortgages. It's rules about who they give credit to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now it's been 10 years, okay? Republicans are in power. Suddenly they're like, what? Why do we have rules on banks? Why do we have regulation? No, let's let them do whatever the hell they want, because what could go wrong? Honestly, what could go wrong? We'll just cut the banks loose. So they're rolling back a bunch of the rules, and here's how they're packaging it to sell it to us. Well, we're helping the little guys. You know, there's a bunch of small banks and credit unions that it's just not fair that they're subject to the regulations of big banks. So initially, the line between a small bank and a big bank was $50 billion. If you had more than $50 billion in assets, you were subject to all these banking regulations from the Dodd-Frank Act. They're moving that number up to $250 billion. Wow, these numbers are staggering. So that, you know, your Chase and your Citibanks will still be watched, but your medium size, your American Express, your Ally Financial, basically the banks you see commercials for on TV, they're not going to be regulated so much. Now, mind you, in the last crash, the government bailed out banks of that size, too. That, there was over $40 billion spent bailing out these banks. And now you have the small banks, the $10 billion banks and credit unions, which they're not no longer going to have mortgage oversight or loan oversight or anything of that, which means if they want to discriminate in giving mortgages, if they want to start giving out risky, creative, remember that term, creative financing? Maybe now we'll call it alternative financing, because why not? So they'll be allowed to do this. So here's a question. How long before big banks open up small banks, okay? If there's no regulations on banks under $10 billion, you better believe that Bank of America is suddenly going to find a need to open some banks under $10 billion. J.P. Morgan Chase will suddenly have little bitty banks, local banks, to help you under 10. You know it's going to happen. I'm an idiot, and I know it's going to happen, and you know. So obviously this bill is supported by the Republicans in the Senate, but now they're saying, you know, it's a bipartisan bill because there are Democrats in the Senate who support it. And there are. The red state Democrats support it, and then the more liberal Democrats led by Elizabeth Warren are like, we did this before. It's bad, you know. So the Democrats will begin fighting each other, which is about right, because let's see, it's March, and if they were to stay united, they could win the House in November, which they really wouldn't want to do. So yeah, it's about time for the Democrats to start fighting each other. They won in Pennsylvania, you know, but it's time for them to start screwing each other, because it's what they do. Donald Trump came to California. Hadn't first time since he's been elected, he's come to California. California was trying to build a wall, couldn't finish it fast enough. He actually came. This is the kind of stuff you wish was a joke, but you can't make up. He came to California and he went to San Diego to examine the walls. Yeah, he wants to see, make sure we have a good concrete wall, because you know those immigrants are professional climbers. Yeah, he actually said that the immigrants are professional climbers. It's funny, I tweeted this. I think sometimes he forgets he's not amongst the racists at the country club, that he's actually talking to the public. So when he does his little joke, you know that Mexican's a professional climber. Uh-oh, that was an official policy statement. Anyway, Donald Trump says he wants a concrete wall. Okay, now, but we want a wall we can see through because they're professional climbers. Okay, Tommy Fisher of Fisher Sand and Gravel, one of the 8 contractors trying to get the deal to build this border wall, was on Laura Ingraham on Fox News. You remember Laura? Shut up and dribble. Yeah. So it's not like this was some liberal setup. He was on Fox News and he said, our wall is solid concrete. If your wall is see-through, you're building a fence. I love that. I honestly love that. If your wall is see-through, well, you're basically building a fence. So now we've got it. Are we building a fence or a wall? I don't know. But Donald Trump explained. He said, we got a lousy wall over here now, but at least it stops 90-95% of the people. But when we put up the real wall, we're going to stop 99% or maybe more than that. Now you know how he bankrupted casinos. Just we're going to stop 99% or maybe more than that. So we're going to stop every immigrant from coming into the United States with our fence wall or wall fence or whatever the hell. We're going to, listen, I've been in Mexico this week. I've been on this cruise ship, 3 stops in Mexico. I'm looking for a lazy Mexican. You know, the lazy criminal, I'm looking. You know what I've seen? Mexican people working their ass off, hustling. That's what it's called, the hustle. You got a taxi cab, cruise ship comes in, there's a line of 100 taxi cabs and 2,000 people on the ship, you got to hustle to get yours. You're selling an excursion. Your excursion is swimming with dolphins. You're going up against the guy who's got people swimming with stingrays and the guy who's got dune buggies and the guy who's got ATVs. You know what that's called? That's called hustling. You're trying to rent scooters in a place where there's nowhere to go. There's a job. Rent a scooter to me in a place where there's nowhere to go. You got to broken down horse pulling a broken down carriage. You got to make that seem romantic to some tourists coming by. And the whole time, you got to smile and bite your tongue because you know you want to say, you fat, lazy American bastard. But you never say that. You smile. They're hustlers. This is my point. They're not bad people. It's annoying. You know, it really is. It's annoying to see some rich, privileged son of a bitch like Trump and his friends who inherited their money, who haven't worked. Yeah, his grandfather worked, but he didn't, okay? To talk about Mexican people or any immigrant people like they're lazy and no good, like they're coming over. Just stop it. So I will continue my search next week. Going to Mexico, I'm looking for someone lazy. Haven't found one yet. I'm sure there's people out there. I seen one. I saw one sitting down. Lazy son of a bitch. He was sitting down while he was selling fruit. Man, you know, in L.A., we laugh, we joke, and I'm guilty of it as any comic. You joke now and then about the Mexicans selling fruit on a freeway exit ramp. Think about how hard is that gig? That gig ain't easy. Are you kidding? You got to hustle fruit in the hot weather to people your fruit might have gluten. Man, how hard is it to hustle fruit full of gluten in Los Angeles? That's a hustle. That's work. So don't call them lazy. It's embarrassing. You're embarrassing yourself. In the meantime, try to build a concrete wall that you can see through, which is by definition of a contractor, a fence. I had an interesting experience on this cruise. So I make fun of Ben Carson because he's Ben Carson and he's incompetent and shouldn't be in the job he's in, like most of this administration. And I made fun of the fact that, you know, the stories came out about the $5,000 for a chair for his office and the $31,000 for decorating the dining room. And this woman came up to me the day after the show and she said, "I'm Ben Carson's chief of staff, and that story isn't true." Now, mind you, she didn't deny anything else I said about him, but she claimed the furniture story isn't true. Let me go on record as saying there is no better proof of something being true with this administration than someone directly denying it. Someone directly denies it, that is absolute proof that it is true. It was very interesting to meet this woman. I have no animosity toward her. I don't understand her. I don't understand how you could work for Ben Carson. She seemed like a very intelligent, professional person. I'm sure she is. I don't get it, but I'm not here to judge. Do what you want to do, but don't come telling me that story isn't true. Thank you for telling me it is true. We lost Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking died, which is good because he doesn't need to see what we're doing to science. He doesn't need to see how dumb we're willingly becoming as a society. He doesn't need to see a nation where Betsy DeVos is in charge of education. Once again, total incompetence in an office. Ever been to a classroom, Betsy? No, but I know how to run them. All right, enough of that. I'm done. I love you guys, but I'm tired now. So what am I going to do? I'm going to watch some NCAA tournament, and then I'm going to eat because I'm on a cruise ship. And when you're on a cruise ship eating, it moves from survival into hobby. I'm as guilty as anyone. Fat and lazy on this ship. Man, I got to start moving again. Listen, that was a quick podcast. That's all I got this week. I know there's a lot more going on, but I'm literally working off the slowest internet you've ever seen and a 2-page newspaper every day. Although that's kind of nice, only 2 pages of news. So you've been listening to Who's Paying Attention. Now remember, Spotify will let you stream my podcast. Tell a friend, tell somebody, help me out. Tell them you can stream Who's Paying Attention. You can stream a whole lot of other podcasts on Spotify. Here's how you do it. It works on your mobile device. That means your phone, your desktop app, or your smart speaker. You open the app on the mobile or the desktop. You click on Browse. Then you click on Podcast. Then you look for Who's Paying Attention. And then you tell a friend, "Man, this podcast is brilliant. You should listen to it too." Thank you. You can also find a bunch of other podcasts and all things comedy. The greatest podcast network there is. So you can take me and all these podcasts with you on Spotify. Who's Paying Attention? You are. I'm just here to thank you. I'm Alonzo Bowden. One more week at sea, then it's back to dry land.